Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
Good morning, Mr. Dumbia.
Okay, can you hold one moment? I think we need to make a phone call, I believe, am I correct? Just want to make sure I have the right one, so many pieces of paper. So I'm gonna have to get my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, to assist us in making the phone call, so...
Sir, just stay on the line, okay?
The party you have called does not accept privately marked calls. Please hang up, remove the privacy, and...
Did you say star 8?
Star 82, and then dial the number.
Okay.
Sir, are you still on the line? Okay, so still hold on, okay?
Yes, sir.
Sir, we understand you wanted to be included on the line in a hearing for Anthony Lozana.
Louisiana, yeah.
Louisiana? Okay. Would you stand by for a minute, sir? We get ready to conference you into the call now.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Okay, if both of you can just hold on, the Honorable Mr. Luke Kiwanis will be chair for the hearing this morning, and he will begin very shortly, so I'm going to turn it over to him at this time. So hold on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Anthony Lozana, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Anthony Lozana, 083266.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Can you hear me clearly, sir?
Yes, sir.
I only ask that because we're having some problems with our in-house microphones, so we're having to project our voices, and I want to make sure that you get a clear hearing.
Okay.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You cannot see us, but in the hearing room, starting from left to right, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Wheel, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the hearing lead. I'll begin the hearing with a summary. Mr. Anthony Lozana is 49 years old. He was certified eligible by VOC for a 31412B parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. He is currently serving a life sentence for murder in the first degree. It should be noted that he is pending a second life sentence for murder in the first degree with an additional 2-year sentence for escape in the second degree. According to his pre-sentence report, He was approximately 18 years old at the time of his instant offense. Is that correct, Mr. Lucenia?
Yes, sir.
He was found guilty by jury trial and sentenced on January 14, 1991. He's been eligible for parole to his next consecutive sentence since April 7th, 2014. Again, Mr. Lucenia, do we sound correct so far?
Yes, sir, it's correct.
Thank you. I will read a short summary of the offense in question. During the evening hours of January 27, 1988, defendants Anna Bretson and Lucenia drank beer with male friends sometime around 1 o'clock a.m. on January 28, 1988. The defendants asked to be taken to the female victim's residence in the 300 block of East Noble Place, Tucson. The driver of the vehicle who transported the defendants had a .22 caliber pistol in the truck, which he determined was missing when he searched the truck the following day. The two defendants went to the front door, knocked. The door was answered by the 20-year-old female victim. Defendant Engelbretson went inside and went upstairs to the victim's bedroom and started talking. Lucenia, or Mr. Lucenia, reportedly entered the bedroom later after climbing to an upper-level balcony outside the bedroom. After a short time, a shot was fired into the 20-year-old's left temporal lobe, later determined consistent with contact range and killed. The victim's mother heard the noise and apparently exited from the bedroom into the hallway when she was shot mid-forehead at close range and killed. During Engelbretson's trial, defendant Lucenia testified that Engelbretson had fired the fatal shots. During interviews with police, Engelbretson alleged that Lucenia fired the fatal shots. When the defendants removed the 20-year-old victim's car keys from her purse and both fled the scene in the victim's 1977 Chevrolet Camaro. Initially, the two drove to Lucenia's family home, where they obtained a change of clothing. Reportedly, the defendants also went to the second residence where a male friend resided. They drove the victim's stolen vehicle and left Tucson. And I will read that as just the short version of the case and continue with my summary. According to Ames, Mr. Lucenia has completed moderate programming in the Department of Corrections. This is not a regular parole hearing. He does not have a release plan. He's had moderate discipline in ADC from 1991 through 2018, with his last major on January 5th, 2018 for possession of a communications device. This appears to be a second hearing before the board. He has no letters of support in his parole packet. Mr. Lucenia, this is your first hearing before this board. We'd like to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the offense that resulted in your incarceration? And I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Lucenia.
I really don't have anything to say about it.
Okay, sir. This is your hearing. We're certainly going to respect your due process, but I do want to make sure that I'm clear, so I'm not necessarily asking you for the details. I just want to make sure that I get this. Are you saying that you have no statement to offer to the board?
Yes, sir.
I will ask you, is this one of these cases where you have claimed innocence in the prison system this entire time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Important to know. Well, again, this is a hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Are you willing, as far as me going through your programming inside the Department of Corrections, willing to share anything, or do you have absolutely nothing to say this morning?
I think the program just speaks for themselves because they were the only thing available.
Okay, sir. Well, then I'm going to take advantage of this time to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Sure.
I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Lucenia, we have victims' representatives. I will double check also, though, to make sure that I am being fair on this. Do we have any supporters of Mr. Lucenia in the room? Just double checking. We do have a victim's supporter in the room, as well as an individual on the telephone. So I'll ask our victim's representative coordinator if you have anything you would like to offer the board. And a reminder that we have no microphone So we'll ask you to stand between the podium and the board.
All right. My name is Jaquel Moody, and I'm speaking as Department of Correction Victim Services. I have a letter from the victim's family, Barbara Mayall, Judy Nichols, and Kurt Clifton. I did not talk to Kurt Clifton. I believe he's on the phone. I don't know if he would probably also want to make a statement. But I'll go ahead and read the letter from the family, and then I actually have an extra letter or a short note from Barbara herself, and I'll read that first.
Thank you, Ms. Moody.
And she says, I can still hear my brother's voice as he testifies and tells me that our mother and sister are dead. I ask him, an auto accident? No, murdered in their home. And I slide to the floor in shock as my 13-year-old daughter sobs. Then I have to tell my sister as I listen to her screams. It took a long time to get justice. This is a memory that sneaks up on you unexpectedly. We have to live our lives without two people that we were so beloved. And that's from Barbara. And then this is a letter from the family. We're the family of Barbara Jean Clifton and Renee Lynn Clifton. This letter is in regard to inmate Anthony Luzanilla. We strongly urge the board to keep this inmate in prison. With the cowardly act of breaking into our mother's home, Anthony Luzanilla murdered our sister Renee and our mother Barbara with a cold-blooded purpose. They were alone without any protection, and he took advantage of that. He killed them both and stole Renee's car to get away. We will never forget that agonizing night. No matter how long it has been, we can still vividly recall all the events of that night, and it will stick with us forever. Barbara was a widow, mother, grandmother, and aunt, and she was a truly wonderful and compassionate person. It's tragic that she never got the chance to come back home to Ohio like she had planned to be the grandmother she wanted to be to her grandchildren. Renee was only 20 years old and just beginning her life. She too had plans of moving back home to Ohio to be with her family. But she was never given that chance. She was never given a chance to marry or have children of her own. Her time was cut short way too soon. And we as a family were denied the joy of a wedding and a growing family. To add insult to injury, I was called 3 times to testify. I had to look into the faces of the murderers who shot and killed my family. I can relive the moment when I heard how they had died. I will spare the board, as it is still painful to me and my family. The information of these crimes are available for the board to see. We deserve the peace of knowing that he will never get out, as we believe that he is more of a danger now than ever, and the public needs protected from Anthony Luzanilla, and we will do whatever it takes to keep him in prison. This is from Barbara Mayall, Judy Nichols, and Kurt Clifton.
Thank you, Ms. Moody. Is there anyone else in the hearing room that wishes to speak to the board today?
No.
Okay. That being stated, I'm going to ask our victim's representative on the telephone, Mr. Clifton, if he would like to make a statement to the board. Mr. Clifton?
Yes, sir.
If you can state your name again.
My name is Kurt Clifton.
And what would you like to share with the board this morning, sir?
I agree with everything that was said in that letter. Forgive me, it still brings up a lot of issues, you know. Anyways, yes, I agree with that. Everything that was stated, he has no right to be out. That judge said 2 consecutive life sentences. You know, they destroyed my life. They destroyed our family's life. I'm still dealing with this. There should be no way that those guys should be out. I'm sorry for breaking down, but boy, I'll tell you what. Until you go through it, you have no idea. And it was senseless. They stated it out on Speedway Boulevard, what they were going to do. It was premeditated. My God. They cost me everything in my life. I lost my wife. I lost my family. I lost my job. I had to move back here. You know, Sure. I'm sorry. As a Christian, I'm supposed to forgive him, but it's very, very hard. Anyways, I hope you people understand and keep him in prison where he belongs, because if I had my say, I'm a firm believer of death penalty. They should have got it. That was premeditated, and I don't care. He has no right, he has no value to society. I mean, my God. So, I'll wrap it up with that. I can't put it in the words. And I hope the board understands and keeps him in prison for the rest of his life. Death row. I'm done. I'm sorry.
No, sir, thank you. We have an order in our hearings to ensure that both people representing the inmates and victims have a voice in this process, and we appreciate you speaking before the board today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I will continue the hearing. Mr. Lucenia, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. I'll ask just a quick few follow-up questions again, not getting into the specifics of the case per se, but based on everything that I reviewed in the parole packet, did you pursue an appeal in your case?
I did, and all my appeals were denied.
Okay, sir. Are you, you said that all your appeals were denied, so you have no current case pending in the criminal justice system?
Yes, sir. Hey, can I say something real quick, please?
Absolutely, sir. Actually, we're getting to the point where I was going to ask you if you had anything that you wanted to share with the board before going to discussion. So if you have anything you want to share, now's that time.
Yes, I will not say anything that devalues what the family feels and what they think about it. So out of respect for the family, I'm asking you not to even consider my parole.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you for your input. Is there anything else that you would like to share before we go into discussion?
No, sir, just that.
Thank you. Mr. Lucenia, the board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself in the open meeting laws of Arizona. A reminder that we do not, as a board, we got five board members authorized for the state of Arizona, we do not discuss these cases before we come into the hearing room. So you'll just remain on the phone. We'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, Mr. Lucenia. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I recognize that this was a very succinct hearing. Mr. Lucenia has taken the position that he did not want to offer anything in the discussion, which we respect. We've heard input from victims' representatives, and of course, as the hearing lead, I reviewed and summarized the case, so I'll keep it succinct as well. Based on the totality of this case, to include Mr. Lucenia's recent major infraction for possession of a communications device inside the Department of Corrections, I do not believe that granting Mr. Lucenia parole to his next consecutive sentence would serve the interest of justice or public safety, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues, and that is where I will begin the discussion, beginning with Mr. Johnson.
I agree. I just wanted to just add in there that Mr. Lucenia stated that he didn't want this board to consider his parole in respect for the family, too.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Will.
Well, at this point, I'm going to have to express some disagreement with my fellow board members on a couple of bases. And first of all, I think that Mr. Luciana's desire to not get a pro in deference to the victims is actually a creates an extra burden for the victims and the state in the fact that if we deny a pro, it will be around a year and we'll all be back here in the same spot. And I'm sure at that time, Mr. Luciano will still be stating his innocence, but also it seems like from the conversation today, he'll probably also be stating some regrets for the victim side because he's at least acknowledged that this is a great burden on them. If we were to grant him parole to his next consecutive sentence, he would be going to another life sentence, and it would be 25 years before he's eligible for a hearing, thus relieving the state of the hearing expenses especially if Mr. Luciano is not in desirous of exiting the system, and it totally relieves the burden on the victims for 25 years. So actually, my thought would be that we pull them to the next consecutive sentence, which would be another life sentence for murder in the first degree. If we do not make it retroactive, even though there were problems with the AIM system, then it would be 25 years before he is eligible for another hearing. And even if we went retroactive to what would have been his last hearing, it's still 20 years. So, or 21 years. So my thought is that we should throw into the next consecutive sentence in deference to his wishes to relieve some of the pressure off the victims and just in deference to relieving the victims of a tremendous amount of trauma caused by the annual hearings that would occur. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal, and I certainly recognize the practicality of what you're saying, but I will open that up for further discussion from the board, in as much that I think that there's equal emotion in considering parole and next consecutive sentences, and this is the first time that I've heard this case before the board, and so I'm a little hesitant to consider that option, but I am certainly open to the dialogue of my colleagues. Yes?
I hear what Mr. Neal is saying, and I understand. The only thing that concerns me with that plan is Mr. Luzania's age. He's only 49, and that means in 25 years he'll still be set in his early 70s or mid 70s, and he still has the 2-year escape charge after that, a consecutive escape. But I don't know. I'm kind of wavering on that because of his relatively young age.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And again, as the hearing lead, I'll add this to. I think that's why I am personally, as one voting board member, a fan of the phrase "the interest of justice." I think that's what I'm wavering on right now in terms of not granting parole to the next consecutive sentence. But I again, let me say this: I hear the practicality of what my colleague is saying. Yes, Mr. Neal.
Well, on your comment about the interest of justice is served by removing the inmate from society, so he's not a danger to society. But justice is also served by considering victims and what the sentencing or lack of sentencing or whatever on the victims. And so in the interest of justice, I think justice is better served by considering the 25 years. Now, granted, he is young enough that he can, survive the 25 years and be eligible for parole. Does not mean that he would get parole. And from what Time Comp has explained to us, even if he goes to the next 2-year sentence, completes it, he reverts back to the original life sentence. So it's not like he's going to get out even in 25 years unless somebody grants him absolute discharge. According to what Mr. Haney said from Time Comp, it always reverts back to the life sentence unless you get give them absolute discharge. So if they're thrown to a consecutive sentence and it expires, they roll back to a life sentence, start the parole process. I think they can come in at the six months or a year. They don't have to wait 25 more years. But according to the information that I was given by Time Comp, he would revert back to that anyway. And a lot is based on his statement about in fairness to the victims to not grant him parole, but in fairness to victims, I think we should grant him parole the next consecutive sentence. He's just serving 25 years on the second life sentence, and at that point in time, there was absolutely no guarantees that he would be released at that time. He's got to go through the same process, and even if he was granted a parole to a second or his next consecutive year, he got 2 years, and going to find comp, he'd roll back to one of the life sentences. So, like my personal opinion is in the total interest of justice, in this case, the best way to give the most justice that we can possibly give would be to draw him that consecutive sentence and relieve the victims of a tremendous amount of trauma that comes up every time there's a hearing.
Amen.
Thank you again, Mr. Neal. I do believe that this is a very relevant discussion, and I'm going to refer to our venerable board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, if you have anything to add to this.
I think, this depends upon each individual board member, because we are independent in terms of our thinking, in terms of our experiences. Otherwise, we wouldn't be on this board, and I think, here I speak only as one board member, not on behalf of the board by any means. I really think that for the time being, it would be best, this is just one board member, for him to not be paroled to his next consecutive sentence. And the one reason is that he's not adjusted into the penal system. That's one reason that he has a major just this year, back in January. He had a major, a few years ago. And he's had some, although they were dismissed. He's had several others, and one of those was obstructing staff. That was dismissed, of course, but it still appears on his record. And in view of the fact that, and I'm not saying that this would happen by no means, but the legislature has the authority, of course, to amend legislation, as we have just seen recently, the governor reluctantly signed the bill that was put. This does not affect him, but I'm saying that it can affect something in the future if the legislature decided to move something forward. And for those reasons, I'm just not in favor at this time, sir.
Any further discussion from fellow board members? Well, thank you. Every now and then during these discussions, it is an opportunity to say on the record before the people of Arizona that I respect the independence of each board member, and I am always personally impressed by the pursuit of fairness.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would also just want to say that I do respect what our distinguished colleague, Honorable Mr. Neal, has put on the record. I think it's something, that each of us can contemplate, but it's just at this particular moment, in this particular one, I've not changed my mind at this time, but I do respect, because we are independent, and that was a great argument that he put forth.
Absolutely, sir. And I think that speaks to the direction I was moving in, that I absolutely respect the independence of this board and the pursuit of fairness and the fact that individual board members really do look at the totality of the case and vote their conscience. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is regarding Mr. Anthony Lucemia, ADC number 08326. My motion is to deny parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge with a 1-year set off, and that is my motion.
I'll second.
Agree.
Agree.
Disagree.
And I'm sorry, the seconded was by
me.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. By the honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson, disagreed by Mr. Neal. Again, I ask for a 1-year set off. Release type denied. Again, is a 412B consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. My reasons are as follows: serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deemed offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, in the case of one of the victims, multiple victims. I have a notation in the pre-sentencing that there was a past probation. I don't know if there was a violation of probation during this case. Did anyone catch that during research? I won't add that. Prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction. It's too early to comment on the release plan. The meter during the hearing was fine. We don't have any family or community support. And those are my reasons. Are there any other reasons that fellow board members wish to add? Okay, Mr. Lucemia, the board has voted and made its decision to deny parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, with 4 agreeing and 1 disagreeing. Is everything clear to you?
Yes, sir.
That being stated, I will bring this hearing to a close. And Mr. Lucemia, thank you for appearing before this board and being so pleasant today. Thank you. And Mr. Clifton, thank you for appearing today. We did hear your feelings about this during the discussion, so thank you. And this hearing, I'm sorry, will be certified to appear before this board in about a year. And so we revisit this. Thank you, sir.
Well, that's fine, because I'll be right here ready to talk.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.